This is the podcast for Woodland Presbyterian Church in Memphis, Tennessee. We are maturing God's people to serve a hurting world. We hope you enjoy the message, and if you'd like to learn more about our church, look us up at woodlandpres.org. Thanks so much. May the Lord bless you.
The heart is a muscle, and we know that the heart is responsible for moving blood around our body to keep us healthy. Just like any other muscle, the heart needs an uninterrupted supply of blood to function properly. The problem is that the coronary arteries that supply the heart with blood can become blocked and cause chest pain, shortness of breath, cold sweats, feelings like heartburn, nausea, dizziness, extreme weakness or anxiety, rapid or irregular heartbeats. The blockage is usually caused by plaque that accumulates in the arteries and clogs the flow of blood. This blockage needs to be fixed in order to restore healthy blood flow. If this happens to you, then you may need to have surgery to bypass the blockage, or you may have a different type of surgery called balloon angioplasty. So balloon angioplasty, many of you probably maybe have even had this procedure, but what they do is they take a catheter and they insert it in a vein in your leg, and they can take that catheter and they can thread it all the way up through your arteries, all the way into your heart, and they can find the area where there's a blockage, and they can blow up a little balloon inside your artery, and they can push that plaque to the side to restore healthy blood flow. It's an amazing procedure, and they usually can do it on video while they're doing it. But the idea is to open up the artery, because when we have clogged artery, then there's not healthy blood flow. This is similar to our prayer relationship with God. So let me explain. For those of us who are Christians, you can describe our transformation from not being a Christian to being a Christian using the analogy of a heart of stone being transformed into a heart of flesh, or a rock-hard heart being transformed into a healthy heart. This process takes place when we confess that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, and the Holy Spirit indwells our hearts. For many of us, this is a time of great joy and relief, and perhaps we felt the weight of the world lifted as we confessed our sin and asked Jesus to be our Lord and Savior. I can still vividly remember the moment when I did that personally, living in a house with 8 other people, working as a blackjack dealer, and the weight of the world kind of on my shoulders, and getting down on my knees and praying, Lord, please, I need you to take away my sin, and I need you to be the Lord of my life. And the burden of the world was lifted. I had a new heart. And so as a new Christian, we have a healthy heart. But over time, we experience hardships in our lives that can pile up and create blockages in our heart that hinder the healthy flow of prayer between God and ourselves. This can cause a lack of communication between ourselves and God, just like plaque piled up in an artery can cause a lack of blood flow. So why is this important, you ask? It's important because we can become spiritually unhealthy and we need a heart renovation in order to get back to good health. I'm sure if you polled the Christians in this room, if you've been a Christian longer than a year, probably longer than a day, you would experience or be able to testify to the experience of maybe droughts in your prayer life, times where you felt closer to God and times where you felt further apart. And that's what I'm getting at here, is there are things that come up in life that create these blockages, and they can lead to droughts. So this morning's renovation is going to come in 3 parts. I'll be asking and answering 3 questions this morning. It's, what does a healthy prayer look like? Or what does a healthy prayer life look like? And what is blocking us from this healthy prayer? And what is the treatment we need to regain healthy prayer? So let's go ahead and jump into the first question here. It says, what does healthy prayer look like? Our answer is found in the verses we read this morning. Jesus is painting a picture of you trying to go over to your friend's house in the middle of the night to borrow some food for your unexpected house guest. It would be like having your child who is off at college show up late one night and come into the house, and you don't have anything prepared to offer him or her to eat. So you go to your neighbor to borrow some food. The problem is that your neighbor has young kids and they went to bed early. So your first knock at the door and your first request is denied. But you really want to give your child some food, so you keep on knocking on the door. Your child is really hungry, so you keep knocking. And you aren't ashamed because you are so sure that providing food for your child is worth the effort. To get your neighbor to open the door and share his bread. And this little summary leads us right to verse 8 through 10 that I'm going to read again. It says, I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. In these verses is found the element of healthy prayer that I'm focusing on this morning. The word impudence or shameless persistence describes an element of healthy prayer that we all need to have. Jesus is saying that when we pray, we need to keep praying shamelessly without ceasing. We need to ask, seek, and knock in prayer until we get an answer. These are all action verbs. God took action when he spoke the world into being. God took action when he sent his son Jesus from heaven to earth to pave the way with his blood for a personal relationship with you and me. This Jesus is telling us that God himself wants us to take action in our prayer life and pray with shameless persistence. To ask our Heavenly Father for our daily bread until we get it. To seek forgiveness of our sins and forgive others limitlessly. And to knock at the door of God's kingdom and to ask for his kingdom to come and his will to be done without regard for personal comfort. This is healthy prayer, actively seeking God with shameless persistence. And another interesting element that informs our healthy prayer life is found in verse 8 as well. It is the word whatever. It can easily be discarded here as we read over verse 8. The word whatever. In the Greek, we read the word as osos, which can be translated as much as. And this is how the NIV translates it. So not whatever, but as much as. This gives us a theological insight into the limitless resources of the one that we are praying to. In the story, we're asking for 3 loaves of bread, and we are being told to be persistent. The neighbor who gets up doesn't give you whatever you want. He gets up and gives you as much as you want. You see, when we pray, we may ask for our daily bread, and we may only ask for 3 loaves of bread. But what Jesus is saying is that you can keep asking for as much as you need. For those of us who are backsliding sinners, that's good news, isn't it? We can continue to come to the Lord and ask for as much as we need. We need to keep coming to the Lord. For those of us who are facing a crisis, we need to keep coming and keep asking, and the Lord will be there for us to answer. I think Jesus is telling us to pray with shameless persistence and keep praying because there is no limit to God's grace. Through the blood of Jesus, there is no limit to the amount of people that can be saved. There is no limit to the amount of sin that can be forgiven. There is no limit to the amount of grace and mercy that God will show. Paul calls it super abundant grace. It is limitless. A supply of grace that is available for the asking. We just need to keep asking. But here's the problem. Some of us have stopped asking. So this leads us to our next question. What is blocking us from a healthy, impudent prayer life? I'm going to touch on three things that can create blockages in our prayer life: sin, fear, and disappointment. Now, I know I'm sure there's 100 things that can create blockages, but I just want to highlight these three this morning. One of the blockages of our healthy prayer life is sin. So maybe you think that your sin is too great and your persistence in sin has become too great for forgiveness. Maybe you have resigned yourself to the idea that you are a lost cause. Maybe you are feeling convicted because you don't love your neighbor as yourself. Maybe you have been actively pursuing unhealthy relationships and actively drinking more than you should. Maybe you have placed all your hope in your finances and you need to confess that money is what you worship. With the fears of a stock market crash this week, have you been completely anxious and fearful? This anxiety can reveal our idolatry. We know that our hearts are idol factories, so we need to pay attention to things that make us afraid or anxious. These are the very things we need to give to God in prayer. You see, just as the original sin created separation between God and Adam and Eve in the garden, and our personal sins continue to create blockages in our ongoing relationship with God. These blockages can build up to the point where all communication stops and we can have a spiritual heart attack. Another blockage is fear. Some of us get scared and revert to false gods to save us instead of praying to the one true God. Coronavirus fears are gripping the world as we gather this morning. Fear of spreading this virus has changed the way we interact with one another in just a few weeks. We don't need to panic out of a fear, but we do need to take precautions and prepare as best we can. This reminds me of the famous passage from Nehemiah chapter 49 that says, "And we prayed to our God and set a guard as a protection against them day and night." This passage is recalling a time when God's people were building the wall of Jerusalem and they were living under the threat of being attacked. The plan was to continue the work and pray that the Lord would protect them and be prepared in case they were attacked. Each laborer kept their sword with them while they worked, and half of the people worked and half the people stood watch with spears and shields. I think there is a great application there for us today. We need to be aware that the threat of the coronavirus is real. We need to not panic and not hide in fear, but we need to prepare with our weapons against this virus, and we need to keep praying in an impudent way. See, I think the world right now would go into panic mode and go into fear mode and maybe go into over-preparation mode. But where's the prayer? So I think there needs to be the balance, right? We need to have the impudent prayer, but we also need to be preparing. We need to pray that we can find a cure. We need to pray that all those who are being affected by this virus would be able to recover and get healthy. We need to especially pray for those who are the most vulnerable. We can't let fear block us from praying to the Lord, but we can use it as motivation to prayer. And I think that the world is going to be looking to the church especially to see how we're going to respond. And I think prayer is a great way to respond. Another blockage, our last blockage that we're going to talk about this morning, is deep disappointment. This deep disappointment can be caused by unanswered prayer or prayer answered in a different way than we prayed for. And I know there's many in this room that have experienced this. This could be praying for a family member or close friend who is not a Christian and praying for their salvation. I have prayed for family members over the years that would become Christians, or friends from college. I pray that the Lord would get a hold of them and change their heart from a heart of stone to a heart of flesh. But many of these prayers have been unanswered so far. And so I find myself like a roller coaster. Sometimes I pray, sometimes I don't. Sometimes I pray, sometimes I don't. But the Lord's encouragement for us this morning is to keep praying, be consistent, shamelessly persistent in prayer. We can be disappointed and discouraged by the apparent lack of answer. This is true for sure. Another deep disappointment that can cause prayer blockage is the deeply painful loss of a child or loved one. For instance, if you have a loved one who is sick and you pray for their healing, but ultimately they don't recover and they pass away, this can cause much pain and disappointment because it seems as though God is not answering your prayer. This can be devastating and would certainly cause anyone to question God and to question the effectiveness of prayer. But this brings us to our last and final question of this message. So what should we do about it? What should we do about it? What is the treatment that we need to remove these blockages? There's no medical procedure that can remove these blockages. It is a spiritual procedure. I'm going to highlight three things that we can do to remove these blockages. And the first that we've done corporately this morning is we can repent of our sin. James 5:16 reminds us, "Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed." We need to get with someone that we can trust and confess our sins and come before the Lord and confess our sins as well. And it needs to be specific. Confess your specific sins that you know about and even sins that you don't know about. We need to be like Paul in this regard, who confessed that he was the chief of sinners and he deserved God's wrath but received God's grace instead. Secondly, we need to pray and post a guard. The Nehemiah principle, pray and post a guard. We need to continue to pray, especially during fearful times. We shouldn't let prayer fall by the wayside because of more important matters. Prayer is the most important, and it should lead the way. In Austin Phillips' book on prayer titled The Still Hour, The Still Hour tells this story to help us grasp the weight of prayer. The story involves Ethelfrith, the pagan Saxon king of Northumbria, who had invaded Wales and was about to give battle. The Welsh were Christians, and as Ethelfrith was observing the army of his opponent spread out before him, he noticed a host of unarmed men. When he asked who they were, he was told that they were the Christian monks of Bangor, praying for his success of their army. Ethelfrith immediately realized the seriousness of the situation and ordered that they be attacked first. Just as this pagan Saxon king recognized the power of prayer, people who are not Christian can still recognize the power of prayer. And if a non-Christian can recognize the power, then we certainly should too, especially during this time of uncertainty regarding the spread of the coronavirus. We need to lead in shameless, persistent prayer and follow the recommendations of our health professionals. Don't get so caught up in the news that you don't pray for God to make the headlines himself with miraculous healing. God can do miraculous things, and we need to pray for that. We also need to pray for and offer care for those who are going to be affected by this virus. And I know as our mission statement to mature God's people to serve a hurting world is coming more and more into fruition, I know the leadership of the church will be calling us together to help care for those who are in need. The last treatment to remove our blockage is ultimately we need to trust in God's will. We need to trust in God's will, which brings us back to our A scripture passage this morning, the last part of the passage, Luke 11:11-13. I'm going to read it again. It says, "What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Jesus is telling his disciples, look, even evil fathers know how to give good things to their children when they ask. How much more will the holy, loving, completely just, and righteous Father in heaven give his children what they ask for? And that is what you are, brothers and sisters. You are the Heavenly Father's child. As long as it is within, and as long as it is within his will. So here's the key to overcoming the blockage of deep disappointment caused by what seems to be unanswered prayer. We need to rest in the assurance that God, our Heavenly Father, always wants the best for his children. Always wants the best for his children. John Calvin wrote regarding this, and he said, "God grants our prayer, even if he does not always respond to the exact form of our request. And Calvin says, even when he does not comply with our wishes, he is still attentive and kindly to our prayers, so that hope, relying on his word, will never disappoint us. In short, God will either give us what we ask or give us what we would have asked if we knew everything he knew." So let me give you an example. Recently, at church here among the staff, we've been praying for a friend of mine. And this friend of mine has a brother who was not a Christian, but he my friend is a Christian, his brother was not, but he was going through some cancer treatment, and he had to have a bone marrow transplant. And so they went through the whole procedure, and they did the bone marrow transplant, and things were going fine until they weren't. And so we were praying for him to get healed from cancer. And ultimately, what happened was he took a turn for the worst, and he never actually recovered from the bone marrow transplant, and he ended up just passing away a few days ago. And it was really obviously sad and disappointing, and it makes us question God. But the other part of the story that really makes this miraculous was that this brother, who was not a Christian, had been visited by a pastor friend, and he had given his life to Christ just weeks before he passed away. And so my friend felt a great sense of relief, where we had been praying that he would be healed. And ultimately, God really answered that prayer, but it was just in a different way. But really the ultimate way, the way that really means more. And so we can take comfort in knowing that God is listening to our prayers, and he cares about our prayers, and he is answering our prayers, but we just don't know necessarily. We don't know all that God knows, and so we don't necessarily see the answers the same way. But we can be comforted in that. I know these are sensitive issues that can cause us to really struggle with our faith and our prayer relationship with God. So I want to be clear. When you struggle in prayer, you can come before God with the confidence that he is going to give you what you would have asked for if you knew everything he knows. He does care, and he loves you boundlessly. We know this is true because of the way God the Father answered Jesus's prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. If you're familiar with the passage, Jesus prayed that the cup of suffering on the cross would be taken from him, yet his request was turned down. On the cross itself, Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why did God the Father answer these prayers in this way? Sinners deserve to have their prayers go unanswered, but Jesus was the only human being in history who deserved to have his prayers answered, yet he was turned down. Why would God do this? It's the gospel, brothers and sisters, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever should believe in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. In this grand sacrifice, we see the final blockage of our relationship with God removed. The original sin and all subsequent sin has been atoned for, and we are free to come boldly before the throne of God. And he tells us to do it with shameless persistence. Are you wrestling with sin? Repent and return to your Heavenly Father. Are you fearful? Meditate on Philippians 4, 6, and 7 that concludes with, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Have you been deeply disappointed by prayers that have not yet been granted? Keep persisting in prayer, brothers and sisters, knowing that Jesus himself has paved the way for our prayers to be answered. He died on the cross, but the grave could not hold him. He was resurrected from the dead and ascended to heaven, and there he lives and reigns and intercedes for us even now on behalf of us. And he goes before the Lord for us in prayer. And one day we will be there with him face to face, and our prayer will be a personal relationship. Let's pray.
Thank you for listening to this message from Woodland Presbyterian Church, maturing God's people to serve a hurting world. Again, if you'd like to learn more about our congregation, please visit us at woodlandpres.org. Thank you very much, and God bless you today.